So Josh just had a picture that we'd just love for him to share quickly with us.
Yeah, so I was praying for this congregation the other morning, and the picture I saw was fog on the beach. And out of the fog were emerging a group of people that had metal detectors, you know? They're waving them on the beach, and they're looking, combing up and down the beach. And they were looking for treasure. And the impression was that these were leaders in the Milk Boast congregation that were working to find treasures. And once they were cleaned off, set them in place in God's house, not just in the house of Milk Boast, but in God's bigger house, to set them properly where they belong.
So we also had a very similar picture from Jean, just actually the also on the beach with a, I hope I have it right, but with just the wind blowing also and starting to uncover these treasures. And it's almost that partnership between this, what the Spirit is doing and what we as a congregation in Milk Boast is doing. Can I pray for you? Okay. Lord, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for Barent, Lord. Thank you for the word that you've placed in his heart, Lord. And thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, I pray for Barent, that you will work powerfully through him this morning, Lord. And that we can hear and take into our hearts, Lord, what you've placed on his heart. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Everybody awake? Ready? Good. It's really cool to be with you this morning. It's freezing outside. I love this weather. So if you don't love it, just hold on a couple of months and then it's over. So I just wanted to quickly just say again, it's amazing having Josh and Lindsay here with us. Being over there, and I think Kaylin, where's Kaylin? She's outside somewhere. There she is. Yeah, she was there over there recently. It's incredible to see what God is doing in Newport and in San Clemente. Obviously, Andrew is there full time now, leading that church, and to see the same God. Josh actually mentioned it. He said it's like the same God that we have here is there and building his church. And for us to know that this little town called Milk Boast has got an impact in a place like Newport. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? It's like it blows my mind to know that God is building his church. And not just here with us, but in South Africa, in America, in Netherlands. If you hear the stories, what's happening there. And we're part of something bigger than just this that we are here in Milk Boast. But what we do here matters. And how we build matters. And just coming back over the last couple of weeks, I've been away, had to do some traveling for business and things, and just realizing again that how we build our lives personally, but as well as this congregation, it's got an impact into the nation. And God says, he says, pray and ask for me, and I'll give you the nations. So we are those that want to go. And I want to encourage you. Chart, where's Chart? You got your passport yet, bro? Okay, praise the Lord. Chart's got his passport. Now we're ready. So for those that don't know, Chart missed out on a trip once because his passport wasn't ready. But I want to encourage you guys, get your passports ready. Get them ready. Ivan and Karen is coming back very soon. They've been away. They actually led the Newport congregation for a while while they were there, just to give Chaz and them a break. Yes, I miss those guys. You sense it. Like Ivan and Karen, the community are going crazy. Like, please bring them back. So this morning, I want to look at something for our personal lives, but also how that affects us as a congregation. I want to speak about run your race. Run your race. Andre is a race runner, okay? I know Sebastian. Where's Sebastian? He used to run races. No one used to catch him at a time, like he used to run races. But you know that each one of us, we're in a race. The day you get born, you start the race called life. And what a race that is. Eh? Isn't it a crazy race, the race called life? Well, some of us, everybody thinks it's a smooth race. Who's seen those little pictures of like, okay, I'm here and I want to get there. And your plan is just to go straight up to the finish line. Who's seen those pictures? And then the next picture below it, this is what we dream it will be or think it would be. But then when you start the race, there's sharks biting you. There's dongas you've got to go through. There's mountains you've got to climb over. There's people shooting arrows at you. It's crazy. There's maybe a detour that you didn't think of or know about. And that's the life and the race that we are in. And as Christians, even more so, we are in a race. And I quickly want to turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. Before we read that, what I want to look at this morning is how do we run our race that we can win a prize? And what is that prize that we are running for? So in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes and he says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete?" So if you are born physically, not spiritually, if you are born, you don't have a choice. You're in a race. And what does it say? All the runners compete. You are competing in a race. And then it says, but only one receives the prize. That is in this natural realm. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, Paul writes. And he says, I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So who of you have read that before? You know that Paul there is referencing back to the Olympics. And we are, what started like this week, the Olympics. Paul actually referenced that back. And I actually went to look. The Olympic Games took place every 4 years without interruption, and it started 767 years before Jesus was born. Did you know that? And then it actually kept on going up until AD, so after Jesus, 393 years. The Emperor Theodosius stopped it. So when Paul wrote this, he was talking about the Olympic Games and used something that everybody understood to bring a spiritual context into it. When I was like, okay. So back then, the Olympic Games didn't look like what Olympic Games looks like now. Apparently, the guys were running all naked and stuff. So it was like, there was no women allowed. So it must have been a pretty sight. pretty crazy sight, if you ask me. But everybody knew about the Olympic Games. And Paul used that to go, you are in a race. And I want to quickly look at a guy called John Stephen Aquari. Who's heard of him? No one. Okay, good. That's so cool. I'm so stoked. So John Stephen Aquari was a guy from Tanzania. He took part in the 1968 Olympic Games, which was in Mexico City. He was a marathon runner. So he ran the 42-kilometer marathon. And he was actually one of the favorites to win that year. And he took part about halfway through. There was a jostling within the group, and he fell. And as he fell, he basically, they say he almost dislocated his leg, his knee, and his shoulder got injured, and he was basically lying there. The medics came and said, listen, bro, you've got to stop running. You've got to stop running. And he said, I cannot stop running. And he got up, and he kept on running. And he kept on running. And he finished last among 57 competitors who competed the race. The winner of the marathon, which was a guy called Mama Volde from Ethiopia, he finished the race in 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 26 seconds. John Aquari, he finished the race in 3 hours, 25 minutes. So more than an hour later, he came in running. They actually said what happened was, as he came into the stadium, people started cheering for him like never before. The media stopped, and they turned all their attention to him coming in. And the whole place was just going, what is going on here? An hour later. And as he came to the finish line, he stopped, and eventually they interviewed him, and they said, like, what happened? You know, why did you keep on running? And these were his words. He said, I never thought of stopping. My country did not send me 17,000 kilometers just to start the race. They sent me to finish the race. He's become one of the most famous athletes that came last. No one remembered Mama Walde or whatever that guy's name is. He won the race. The most famous athlete for that time was John Aquari. still to today, he lives in Tanzania, he's alive, and he often speaks about this, finishing your race. And I want to say to us, it's not how we start the race, it's how we finish the race. Because we've all started a race. You have started a race. And how are you going to finish your race? And not to win a little wreath, little thing on your head back then, or a gold medal that's perishable, that we can't take with. It's about an imperishable prize for eternity that we can win. And how do we run our race? And the Bible actually teaches us on how we run our race. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, you can quickly put that on. Paul writes and he says, he's an old man. Paul has done a lot for the kingdom. He's writing to Timothy, a son in the faith. And he's going, Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Paul, a man that has devoted his life to live for Jesus, gave everything, being shipwrecked, being stoned, everything in life he's given. And he said, I have finished the race. And if you quickly look at your life, are you at that point where you go, am I going to finish this race? Or are you going, I'm limping. I want to give up. I want to stop. But Paul encourages us and he actually gives us some tools to go, this is how you can finish the race. Because I want to finish my race. You know, I think all of us live in that place where we want to one day see Jesus when we stand in front of him, where he looks at us and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into my kingdom. Because there is going to be a day when we all stand in front of Jesus. Whether we know him now or not, whatever your relationship with him is right now, the day is coming where we're going to stand in front of him and he's going to say, either well done, come into my kingdom, or depart from me, I never knew you. Those are weighty words. But how you run your race matters. So let's look at how we can run our race. And not just run it, but finish our race well. Andre, if you start a race, what's your goal? Finish it. That's the goal. Finish your race and finish it well. And I felt as I prepared this morning for some of us, don't give up. Don't give up. And I'll show us now as we look through this that there's certain things that happen in this life that wants to distract you, that wants to pull you aside from the race that God has got for you. And the only race and the perfect race that you can run is the one that Jesus has for you. Because each one of us has got a specific race to run. Okay. Let's turn to Hebrews 12 quickly. Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2. So this is, whenever I see the word therefore, you always got to go and go, okay, what for? Okay. When you read the Bible, you see the word therefore, you go, what for? What is that? Why is therefore there, you know? So it's obviously referencing something that Paul wrote previously, and we'll look at that now. But he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and those cloud of witnesses were those patriarchs that ran their races before us, we can look back at men and women that ran their races and completed it. Even Joshua said, on his dying bed, he said, Joshua completed the plans and purposes that God had for him and his generation. And I want to be that, complete our race. So we look back at guys and we can learn things from other people. And we're going to look at the therefore now. But it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of God, on the throne of God. We've got a race to run. And if we look at those that came before us, Hebrews 11, we can see the Moseses, the Abrahams, the Josephs. It speaks about Rebecca. It speaks about David and King Solomon and all those great men of faith running their races and finishing. And I want to encourage you, go read it. Go read Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 tonight. You know, read that and And let that stir you. And those men and women are a cloud of witnesses. What does that say? They're looking at us and cheering us on and going, run your race. Run your race. And how do we run our race? How do we do it? Firstly, we look at the first one that it says there. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily clings to us. The one thing that will stop you from running your race is sin. Sin. What is sin? Sin, very plainly said, is the bad things that we do that separates us from God and that hurts us and others. That's sin. And the Bible is very clear, Romans 3 verse 23, we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. I think not one of us here can say we have not sinned. Even this morning in our prayer meeting, we examined our hearts and said, Lord, if there's anything that's in our lives that's not of you, would you take it away? Because God is the only one that can take sin away from us as far as the east is from the west. The bad things we do that separates us from the love of God, that separates us from Him, hearing Him, and it actually hurts us and others. Who's experienced the effects of sin? It's got an effect. It's a weight. Who's carried that weight of sin? I know I have in the past. I've carried the weights of sin. It just brings me down. I can't run a race. You don't have confidence. You don't have you just feel condemned, because that's what the devil does. He brings guilt, condemnation. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction when we have sin. And it's not there to point a finger. It's there to say, come closer. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Because although all of us have sinned, Jesus died on a cross for us, that we can come into Him and be forgiven of our sin and be set free. Nothing we can do, only what He does. So when Paul writes and he says, lay aside, put it aside, let's come to Jesus, that scripture that you brought this morning, we confess our sin one to another. God is faithful to forgive us. God is faithful to cleanse us and to bring us into relationship with Him again. And I want to encourage you, if you're in any kind of sin, sin is a once-off thing. Sometimes sin is a continuous thing. We have short accounts of sin. Don't let the devil lie to you. He wants to keep you in a pattern of sin, in a pattern of doing bad things. But God wants to set you free. And I believe this morning, God wants to set many of us free from cycles of sin. And already, if the Holy Spirit is just nudging you in your heart, keep your heart open. I will give a moment later where we can just come before God and say, Lord, come and take away that which is not of you. Isaiah 59 verse 1. This is just such a beautiful scripture for me. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that He cannot hear. God is close. God's hand is right here going, come. He's listening. He's hearing you. He's saying, come, I can hear you. I can see you. He's not far from us. But it says, our iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And iniquities are those things that we do that's not right. And your sin has hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Isn't that what sin does? Exactly what I said. It separates us from knowing the Lord. It separates us from God being close to us. And that scripture that the young lady brought as well, once we confess our sin, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. God can't hear our prayers if we're living in sin. So it's up to us to look to Him and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. We've all sinned, Lord. We've all fallen short of Your glory. But Romans 5, it says, just at the right time, God gave His Son to die on a cross for you. Although you were sinners, although you were evil, although you were against God, He came and He surrendered His life as a price for you, so that his blood can wash you clean as snow. And that is the good news. So no matter where you are in your life, in an area of sin, trust the Lord. Run to him. Run to him. James 4 verse 17, it says, and this is often I think of this scripture when I go, Lord, is there any sin in my life? And I go, nah, I'm okay. Who's thought that? Don't put up your hand. It might be embarrassing. I'll put up my hand. Okay. I'm okay. And then this scripture, I was reminded. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Yes, that scripture hits me every single time. If you know what the right thing is to do and you don't do it, for you, it's sin. What does that mean? And I'm laboring this point because I want you to understand how sin so quickly gets its hooks in our lives, so quickly weighs us down, so quickly grows. Bible actually says sin is like a living organism. Sin gives birth to sin, it says. And that sin gives birth to more sin. And that sin eventually leads to death. Stop your race right there. And it might mean that you stop your race for eternity. Because what we do in this blimp of a time on earth, how we respond, how we live our lives, how we run our race, here will determine the rest of eternity, the rest of time with him. So be ruthless with sin. Hate sin. Hate it. Hate the smell of sin. Hate even the inkling of sin, the desire. Hate it. Because it only wants to bring you down. The devil will come and make himself look like an angel of light and entice you. Do not give in to the traps of sin. The Bible says, put it aside. Put it aside. You guys sense that? I think it's a bit of a fear of the Lord here at the moment. Can we, before we move on, can we quickly close our eyes? Lord Jesus. Father, there's moments in our lives that we know that your holiness comes in, God. And that we can stand in front of you, Lord, knowing that we are sinners, God. Knowing that we have wronged you, that even things that we knew we were supposed to do and we didn't do it, and for us it's sin, God. And Holy Spirit, I just have a sense that you are convicting our hearts even now, Lord. So Father, would you come, and as we just confess our sins to you, God, maybe just do that. Just if there's something you've done, if there's been a white lie, or a lie, don't diminish it. If you've lied, if you've stolen something, if you've looked at someone with lust, if you've murdered a brother by gossiping, by slandering, just bring it in front of the Lord. Bring it in front of the Lord. He is faithful. He can wash it. He can purify. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sure. Galatians 5 verse 7, Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, Galatians, you were running well. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And I've met many during walk as a Christian that started out well. Let's run their race well. And I would meet them. I would say, who's hindered you from running your race well? Who's hindered you from stopping? And what are those hindrances? The sin is a weight. But then Paul also writes, he says, lay aside every sin and weight that so easily entangles us. What are those weights? And one thing that I felt when I was preparing this is in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 to 4, it's a It's a time that we are living in right now. This scripture shows what we are living in right now. And these are the weights that so easily come and sit upon us. That Galatians, Melkbos, South Africans, you've started your race well. Who's hindered you from running your race? It's because of this. For the time is coming, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. We are living in a generation where YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all these things, so easily accessible. We listen to people that got no authority over our lives, that tell us what to do. And they are people that will pull you away from God, and your own passions and desires will make you run after them. And then there's men and women that lay down their lives for the sheep and watch over you, pray over you, and their voice has become silent in your ears. This is the generation we are living in. It's evil, it's lawless, and it's scary. And many will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. You can run your race, and you can start listening to others, and you can wander off into the darkness, into myths. And I want to say, stop listening to outside voices. The devil has a scheme for your life, and if you are looking for something that will confirm what you are feeling, I promise you, you'll find it on Facebook. I promise you, you'll find it on YouTube. I promise you, you'll find it. And there's men and women that God has placed over your life that loves you, that will lay down their lives for you, and you rub them off. You put them aside. And God is going, that's not right. It's for your safety. God has put shepherds over your lives. These are the weights. These are the things that come so easily that will pull you away from running your race. What I do, if I hear anything, I go to Andrew, Mike Davies, Phil. I go to men that I believe in and I trust. I say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Is this a good person to listen to? Because the devil will masquerade like an angel of light. And I want to warn you guys, it looks good. It feels good. Not of God. If you've got any question, ask your elders. This thing of church is not a thing that God has put together that easily understanding. It's a spiritual thing that we can go, Lord, you have placed us here, and we understand where you have placed us. Does it make sense? When I prepared this, I felt the presence of God come and say, warn the people. Because our itching ears wants to distract us and pull us away from what God wants. Amen?
So Paulette just also brought me a picture now, just in line with that. And I feel just the Lord is specifically speaking to hearts now that where you have nitpicked things from church which have been comfortable to you. You've nitpicked things that went, oh, I'll take that. But you know that hard word, I'm not going to take that. And I'm just sensing, and Marley also just, the Lord's on this thing of hearts right now, is how have you been following? Have you been following well, or have you been choosing your own way? Have you been nitpicking these things out of church that you feel comfortable with? And have you lent out your ears to the things on Facebook and the teachings that you wanted to? And these things keep on feeding. The one thing you're looking after, they'll just feed you another one with the same pattern and the same way of stealing you away. And I just felt, can we take a moment? I just want to take a moment quickly. Not quickly. Let's just take a moment and just allow the Lord to work now. Marley brought the word of the Lord's busy resuscitating hearts. And there's almost a pulse, but there's not a pulse yet. And I just want to, let's just spend just a moment in just allowing the Lord to just get that pulse going again. So just close your eyes. Let's just allow the Spirit to just minister to us now in this moment. And just show us those things. Just show us those things that we haven't let him deal with. And those things we've been holding on to. And allow the Lord a little bit.
Jesus, show us our ways, God. Show us where we have wrongfully ran after things, God, which is not of you. Lord, even books that we've read, videos we've watched, clips we've watched, we want to say sorry, Jesus. We want to say sorry, God. And just while our eyes are closed, I want to bring the other side. As elders in the house, we're not any special, more special than any of you. We're not more special. We understand that we have been called by God, not because we've done anything right, not because we deserve it. Somehow we have found the Lord and the calling that He has put on us, and we said yes. And it's a fearful thing for us because we understand that we are going to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, who gave up His life for you. And we are going to give an account for every single person. One day we will stand with Andrew and the other elders, and the Lord's going to call. He's going to say, Barent and the elders of Josh Jane Melkbos, step forward. And then He's going to start, and He's going to say, tell me about Chart. Did you bring him through in everything I had for him? Tell me about Jose. Tell me about this one. Tell me about this one. Give an account, because I entrusted their lives to you. And He's going to ask us, were you fearful at times? Did you shy away? Did you run your race properly? And then, once that is done, He's going to call you. And I'll use my wife as an example. Leanne, how did you follow? How did you obey? How did you submit? How did you run your race with those that I've placed on? Were you always kicking against them? You see, it's both ways. We need to understand the race that we are in and how we run it. Doesn't make anybody more special than anybody else, but there's certain roles, and the way that God wants us to build His house is precious in His sight. So I want to encourage you, work with your elders. Submit your lives to them. Give your heart to them. Trust them. Men that you can follow, men that's got a track record that's come a long way. And if it's hard, find the Lord. Talk about it. There's nothing hidden in the kingdom of God. Nothing. This is how we run our race. This is how we run our race. We lay aside every weight, all the excess, all those thoughts, ideas, everything. We say, Lord Jesus, it's yours. The second thing, let's just quickly read Hebrews 12. I'm going to not finish all of them because I don't want to go on too long. But one of the things that in Hebrews 12, it says, can we put that up? Hebrews 12, one again, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. The second way of how you can run your race, you keep your eyes on Jesus. Patrick read my scripture this morning. When he read it, I was like, thank you, Jesus. That confirms what you're wanting to say in Colossians. It's what does it Colossians say? Where it says, like, we fix our eyes on things above and not on things beneath. As we run our race, the only way that we can do it is fixing our eyes on Jesus, staying fixed on Him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. The Bible says that He is our example. We need to become like Him. We need to live by the Spirit. We need to follow the Spirit. That's the only way you can run your race. In yourself, you can't run it. Unless you are found in Him, secure, knowing who you are in Him, you won't be able to run your race. So make sure your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in your life. Most important. Most important person to know. Not your wife, not your kids, not your boss. It's Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Psalm 14, verse 18, David writes, and he says, my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord, and in you I take refuge. What does it mean, fixed? What is that? Have you ever fixed your eyes? Okay, husbands, you fixed your eyes on your wife, eh? Yes. Okay, cool. I fixed my eyes on my wife. Most beautiful thing I've seen ever. So we fix our eyes on Jesus. The same thing. You're fixated. Becomes the obsession that you, an obsession is maybe a negative word, but it is. I am fixed on Jesus because he is the only one that can show me how to run my race. 1 Corinthians 9, and we read this earlier. It says, every athlete, 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. So as we run our race and we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, we have self-control to not go to the left or to the right or we're off what God wants to do, but we go, Lord Jesus, I want to run my race, fixed on you, disciplined in running everything that we do. And it says that even it says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating in the air. It's not an aimless race that we're running. We fix our eyes on Jesus in everything that we do. I remember speaking to Nathan a while back. He's just finished a couple of races. And just racing, and I think Andre can attest to this as well. When you're running a race, there's certain things you want to avoid. You know, like Nathan, for about, what was it? Like, I think about 6 months, he stopped eating sugar. He stopped eating things that can affect him badly in running the race. So for us in this Christian race, there's certain things that we need to avoid, that we discipline ourselves. It's the discipline to wake up every morning and find Jesus and find God. Don't neglect those things. Don't neglect the gathering of the saints, the Bible says. Don't neglect your relationship with Jesus. That's the most important. Read your Bible. Read it. Devour it. Because as we do that, he becomes our everything. And that's how we fix our eyes on him. Pray. That again, that just prayer is powerful. We've been going through a month of prayer. I tell you, without prayer, we cannot win this battle that God has put us in. We cannot win. Pray. Discipline your body. And if you can't discipline your bodies, fast. Is that a swear word? No. Okay. For some people it is. But fast. Fast. Put time aside. Find the Lord. Live your life now for eternity. Thirdly, by faith. How do we run our race? It's by faith. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, these people did this. By faith, Moses trusted God. By faith, Abraham almost sacrificed Isaac. And then it goes on and it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. Faith is, unless we have faith, we've got nothing. How are we saved? By faith. By trusting and believing God and knowing that he died for us on the cross. Because we haven't seen it, but it's in us. It's here. We know it. Faith is the substance, the Bible says, or the realization of things hoped for. So you're hoping for something. You realize it. You go, by faith, God, this is true. It's the substance, the realizations of things hoped for, the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. That's faith. Lord, give us an increased measure of faith. And we can pray for that. We can pray that God increases our faith. Because without faith, without faith, we cannot please the Lord. And this is a scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 39. I quickly want to look at this just in terms of faith. It says, Paul wrote here to the Hebrews, he says, and this is us. I want to say for you. For us, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believed and are saved. And that is who we are, by faith. Take hold of the things of God. Amen? Run your race by faith. And lastly, run your race together. You cannot run your race on your own. In this Christian life, that's the difference between a physical race on earth and a spiritual race that we're racing. we run together. How you run your race affects me. And how I run my race affects you. Because we are in this together. We are a body, the Bible says. We are together. How I run will affect every single person here. And how you run will affect every single person. Ephesians 4 verse 11. God actually gives us this picture of what church is like. It says he has chosen, God chose some of these gifts to the church, which is us, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and their responsibility is to equip God's people, us. It's to equip us to do the work and to build up the church, the body of Jesus Christ. How we run our race matters. What you do matters every single day. Another translation there, I want to read this. It says in, I think it's the New Living Testament, it says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And isn't that what the church is? Healthy, full of love, growing, maturing, multiplying. So for each one of us, you cannot run this race on your own. Again, coming back to that thing of sin. Confess your sin to Jesus alone and to yourself? No. What does the Bible say? Confess your sin to one another. To one another. That's how we live. That's how it's together. Because if we're not together in this, if you're on your own, he who isolates himself, the Bible says, seeks his own destruction. It's a scary scripture. Don't isolate yourself. Find family. Get involved. Be in community. Don't neglect Sundays. Don't neglect Wednesdays. Because together as we run, that is how we're going to get, how we're going to fulfill what God wants us to do. Amen. Can we close our eyes? So I know we've prayed a couple of times. And God has been moving here in our midst. But I want to ask you, have you started running your race for Jesus? Or have you started, but you've wandered off the race of what God wants for you? And no one can judge you on that. No one can know except you will know. You will know whether you wandered off or disengaged or even started the race. Maybe for you this morning, you're hearing this word and you're realizing the gravity that sin has on your life. And you're realizing that actually, if you appear before Jesus today, you don't know whether you will go into eternity or not with him. You will go into eternity. It will either be with him or it will be eternal damnation that the Bible teaches. And I want to give an opportunity this morning for each person here. And can I just say from the outset, who cares what people think? Who cares? If you know that your life isn't right with God, if you know that there's certain things that is you have done that is sin, that you go, Lord Jesus, I want to come before you today and I want to give you my heart again, Lord. Or I want to give you my heart for the first time. I want to be born again. I want to know that I know that I know that if I die walking out of this congregation today and a bus hits me, that if I die today, Lord, I will stand in front of you and I will enter into eternity with you. Because that's what I'm living for. Not for a thing on earth here. And if you're not certain, I want to encourage you this morning. Highly encourage you. Don't worry what people think. God looks at you and he say, you are mine. I love you. I sent my son to die on the cross for you, to take away every single sin, every single transgression, every little thing that you have done that separates you from me. I took it upon myself and I shed blood. I died so that you can have life. I paid the price because I love you. I love you. If you are not certain today, if you are not certain, I want to ask you, respond to Jesus today. Respond to Jesus. Say to him, God, that is me. Lord, that is me. I need you today more than I needed you ever in my life. Because if my life is not right with you, God, What am I doing? I'm wasting it. And you know God is busy because your heart's pounding in your chest. And you know that God is touching you. And I want to say, if that is you, no one is looking. People are praying because this is the thing that God came to earth for, is for you to have a relationship with Him. And if that's you this morning, just raise your hand. Just say, Baron, that's me. Acknowledge God in front of me. Say, that is me. Can you pray for me? Just lift your hand. Just say, God, Baron, would you pray for me? It's just the outward, in a sense, a way of just saying, Lord, I need prayer this morning. Is there anyone? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. If you are not sure, raise your hand. Make sure that I see it. Respond to the gospel of love, the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus saying, I know you and I want to know you even more. Thank you, sir. I see that. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You know, the Bible says that when we do this, when the light, when we move from darkness to light, angels stand up in heaven and they rejoice. Angels rejoice because they know this is it. This is what it was about. This is why Jesus came. And I don't want to embarrass you guys that put up your hands, but I want to say, the Bible says that if we acknowledge Him before men, one day He will acknowledge us before others. And I would love to pray with you. And I know it's a moment of coming out and just going like, okay, that was me. But can we pray for you this morning? And if you raised your hand, would you be so bold as to come out and just stand here with us? I'm going to ask some of the leaders to stand. And it's just one of those first steps of going, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be made whole again with Him. And don't be embarrassed. If it would be fine, would you come out and we pray for you guys? And can we all just like encourage them? Some leaders, can you guys come out? That would be great. Thank you, sir. Thanks, Bruce. If you don't want to, that's fine. Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Can we give him a round of applause? That's amazing. Like, angels are rejoicing. Lindsay, can you quickly come share? Can you quickly come share? Sorry, just before we pray for these guys. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. Can we give a round to these guys? You want to share just what you felt?
So during worship, I was just feeling this stirring in my heart, and it was confirmed through Barnes' preach that perhaps there's someone in here that you're giving God one last chance. You have been hurt in the faith, you've been hurt in life, and you came this morning saying, I'm going to give God one more shot. And if that's you, my heart was just stirring for you, and if your heart is burning right now, that you would come before the Father God who loves you, that you would allow this church body to be your paracletes, to come alongside you. And when the race has been so hard and you want to give up, that you turn to the person next to you and you say, that's me. I want to give up. I'm ready to walk out of this and walk away from my faith and never do this again. But your Father wants to come alongside you and hold you up, and He wants to take the body that is with you and say, I can help you. I can be the body that helps you keep moving to take that one step forward and that next step forward. And so if that is you, if your heart is burning toward in you right now, don't walk out of here. I encourage you to step forward in boldness and in faith, and turn to that person next to you. Just say, that's me. Will you pray for me? And so, Father God, for every person in here, if that person is burning in their heart right now, Holy Spirit, that they would come before you. They would feel your strength coming before you to know that this race is not run without you. That your scripture says that those who walk will not grow faint, those who run will not grow weary, that we'll mount up with wings like eagles. So Father, I pray for this person, whomever they are, you know their name, you know their story. And they would feel you come alongside them and help them to keep running the race that you have put before them.
Awesome. God is a God of the one. You matter. God will stop the whole service for you. Don't miss the moments in the Lord. Don't miss the moments like this where your life will change forever. If that's you, if that word resonates with you, please come and talk to someone, or I want to encourage you to come out. Guys are here to pray. We want to see God move in your life. Can we reach out our hands to these men, to these guys? Lord, we want to thank you, God, that you are the God that loves us, that saves us, that takes away everything that is not of you in our hearts, Lord. Even the things that we think is impossible for you to take away, you can remove it as far as the east is from the west, Lord. And Jesus, this morning, as these men responded to your gospel, responded to the good news, God, I pray, Lord, that their lives will be like that seed that fells on fertile ground, Lord. That as they grow, Lord, as they become to know you more, that the weights of this world will fall off, God. That the sin will just be forgiven, God, and removed like you promise us, God. And that they will live for you, God. That they will run their race. That they'll run their race in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to ask you guys, could you guys maybe go and chat to some of these guys and just explain and pull them in and get them into family? And then I want to turn to us just before we end. How's your race going? How's your race going? Josh, Jen, Melkbos, Sunningdale, how's your race? Are you running flat out for Jesus? Are you running with everything you have? Are you fully committed, devoted to the things of God? Because your race matters for us. And not for us, for Jesus. It's got nothing to do with us. It's for Him. Because He wants to build His church. He wants this hall to double up in numbers. Because as He comes and He grows us and He adds to us, more people will run their race. So I'm standing this morning for this. I want to say, God, will you help me to run with endurance the race that is set before me? I want to be like Paul that says, I have finished my race. I have fought the good fight of faith. And if that's you this morning, if you want to say, Holy Spirit, come and enable me just by your Spirit, because it's nothing we can do. Can you stand with me? I'm standing for that. And when you stand, know that you're making this decision. It's almost like there is a line in the sand this morning. Were you saying, God, I want to step over that line and I'm committing myself to you, Lord. I want to say, I want to run my race. I want to fight the good fight of faith because of what you have given me. So can we raise our hands just as a sign of surrender and just say, Lord, we this morning, God, we come before you as your people, God. And like we said during worship, Lord, we hear you, God. And we want to be those that respond to you. We want to be those that say, yes, Lord Jesus, yes. We want to run our race with endurance. We want to run our race till the end, God. We want to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. We don't want to be distracted. We don't want to be veered off to the left or to the right, God. But we want to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill us up. Strengthen us. Give us everything we need to run this race till the end, God. To shine for you, Lord Jesus. And that many will look at our lives and say, I want to run my race like them. I want to run Radesh like them. We say we love you, Jesus. We love you, we worship you, and you are everything. God, I pray for every person that as they commit their lives, Lord, seal them off, God. Thank you for those that are visiting us, Lord. Thank you for the Sunningdale crew that came and served us so well. And as we go from this place, Lord, that we will shine our lights for you like never before. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.